passenger governors mourn as ex interim national government head Shonekan dies at 85.
Yeah. Okay, let me, as usual, let me lay a foundation, you know, for the things that I want to say. To say that Chief Shonekan's family and mine, I mean, the Disu family, the head of our family, Chief Akin Disu, has been a close collaboration from only God knows, maybe from his teenage days, very, very close to my late uncle. And somewhere along the line, when I was in journalism, you know, print journalism, he took a special interest in me. I remember him always saying something like, one day he called somebody aside and said, does this boy look like me? So he was more than pleased when I ended up in Lever Brothers way back then. And so I have a personal relationship with him when he was when he got the order from United Kingdom, got some, I think it was MBE or whatever it is. Mm. I was one of the 50 people that was invited. So let me first of all lay down the bias that I have. I'm doing this deliberately because Chief Shonekan, I'm saying this deliberately because Chief Shonekan means different things to different people. Mm. We can't run away from that. He means, in the corporate world, of course, he was chairman of UAC at a time when UAC was almost at the peak. I remember then there was this thing we had. I was in the financial pond, and we used to sometimes go to UAC to get details of the, I can reveal that now, details of the budget before the government releases it. UAC, during his own tenure, was a very tough corporate player and was well respected by the government at that time. Now we get to the controversial part, and that, of course, is the part of the interim national government. And let me state clearly that I didn't agree with him, you know, on taking that appointment. More so the appointment of chairman of interim. One, because I know that the government at that time didn't mean well. I know they used him. I felt they used him, being of Egba stock with MKO Abiola, you know. And therefore, I can say quickly and just rush over it that when an opportunity came for me possibly to place a role in that government, I definitely deferred it. You know, when suggestions were made to me, I definitely deferred it. And believe you me, since then, all of us of public service have deferred for various reasons. But I didn't agree with him. I never told him that I didn't agree with him because I felt it was a very, very sensitive subject. I remember vividly one day we met at a function and I asked him, said, sir, are you going to put your memoirs to print? You should write, let's get your own account of history. He took a good look at me. That kind of look, the way I read it then was like, "Hello, boy, okay." and then he said, he looked at me again. He said, so I added, I said, sir, we'd just like you to give an account of your life. But he knew that I was referring to, you know, Yoruba, you have to be careful when you're speaking. So, and I just want you to give us an account so we can structure your life, know what has happened. You know what he told me? He said, you are close to me now. You can get the rest from Akin. That's my uncle. And you go and write it. Whatever you write, I'll be happy about it. And so we would banter about that. Like I said, the role he played is controversial, but I didn't agree with him. I don't think he should have accepted it. The government was not sincere. Of course, within 3 months or so, he was kicked out, and then the dreaded Abacha came into play. He was just used as a pawn. But I think he benefited from it. Whether you like it or not, it's going to go down in history, no matter the circumstance, that he was a one-time head of government. And I think, because he kept saying that he saw it as a sacrifice to steady the country. Now, so the question is, if Chief Shonekan hadn't taken that appointment, what would then have happened? And that is why, and you remember, Tinubu was in the very strong fight, against the military then. Well, this is what Tinubu has to say of him today, if we're going to believe what he said and what he goes by. Tinubu says that, the country has lost another important elder statesman, a man of peace who tried to bring unity and concord during one of the nation's most trying moments. So if we are to believe the sincerity of what Tinubu has said, and we want to discount the fact that he might be playing politics, then maybe, maybe some of us who are on the edges were probably a bit too critical. Of course, you know, later the Abacha government, Jakonde and Ebino Topsi, that we virtually worshipped when we were in university, took up political appointments and so on and so forth. Well, Chief Shonekan is gone. You know, like all mortals, he's done his bit and he's gone. The rest is for history. I don't know if dead men can see. Some people say that dead men still hover around. And I think if that is possible, he'll be looking at the way, because all over the media, yesterday and today, it's all about Chief Shonekan's death. May he still rest in peace. I'd like to condole the family, especially Mrs. Margaret Shonekan, and of course his very best friend, the Babagun of Lagos, Akindisu. I'd like to console all of them. May his soul rest in peace. Let us let him go in peace so that we can let us face it. Because we have very strong issues at hand instead of looking back at hand. Because just yesterday now, Kalu, what's his first name now?
Ojuzo
Kalu has given an indication that he wants to run for presidency. And that again has set me to another panic. But that's the story for not another day, for another hour. Let's move on to the next one.
Yes, let's move on to the next one. Still with the Punch newspaper. It's time, page 2 of the Punch. Buni Malami move to block convention. Governors rise against interim party chair.
Tinubu is ahead of these people. there's loads of people around Buhari. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I know that there are loads of around who would rather not have a Tinubu presidency. They should have moved against this gentleman earlier. They should have kept him busy running from one court and one tribunal to the other. They shied away from doing that. Now that the become has come, to put it in street language, everybody is in panic mode. The average Nigerian politician will support a man like Tinubu. Yes, they won't show their hands early because for a lot of them, they kept hoping that Buhari would look their way. Apparently, he didn't. Now, we are not talking of morality here. We are talking hardcore politics. Like I said yesterday, if you am a politician, I have what you call a structure. I remember hearing this word from Senator Gulewe. Keep talking about structure. Structure means getting people together, and it also means having the means to keep them. And that is a lot of money. Now, the reality in politics is that a politician would like a leader who will carry him along. Buhari might be in for a surprise. Some of his pro-Buhari supporters at the last minute will ditch him for this gentleman. And that's why, I'd sat back and thought about it. I kept hoping that maybe the pro-Buhari group would... There was enough to keep this man busy so that he wouldn't even think of going. But they shied away from it, you know. Then don't forget, it appears he has some kind of support. It appears he has some kind of... I'm repeating it so nobody gets my sentence wrong. From Aisha Buhari, the first lady of the nation. She appears to be forever grateful to him for having made her husband president. And that is not for nothing. You see, the genie has been let out of the bottle. That is what we have now. And so what you are having, the disarray you have in the APC now, a lot of it is to make sure that this man doesn't make a headway.
The scuttle is smooth.
Whatever happens at that convention is going to show a clear way of where the APC might be going.
I'm looking at parallel conventions with what is going to happen. That is, if the president himself refuses to wade into the entire thing, because right now they're calling out to him to intervene and solve these convention issues. Oji Kalu is insisting that, you know, conventions must happen. The convention must happen. Dave Umahi has also indicated his interest. You know, we have two people from the Southeast now. We have other governors in the party who are for the interim chair, Mema Labuni. And nobody knows exactly where this pendulum will swing in the end.
Nobody knows what the other man is thinking in politics.
That's just
until they get that's why everybody is afraid until they get to that convention. And that is where this gentleman, I have a fear of him, when it comes to politics, I have a fear of him. He's a master tactician and he's a politician's delight.
Part of what has
aided him is the attitude of the president. The president doesn't have this capacity to gather people around him. The people, those who people like us who believe, I've never met Buhari. I believed in him based on his antecedents in 1984 when he was a military leader. But as far as politics go, he doesn't have the wherewithal, you know, to hold on to people. He's not that person. It's not like the late Yar'Adua, for example, who would go to Ibadan, sit down and eat amala with Adedibo and Kwana. He's not that kind of person. He's not a wheeler dealer. He's not a negotiator. Baba Makalani, you know. So a lot of people did work for him. But the question those ones are asking, some of them are asking, is what did I get in return? This gentleman we are talking about, if you need, I'm not talking of the president now, if you say that it's a refinery that you want, you will get it. If you are that important, he knows the game. Himself and Atiku, they are ahead of everybody. They know the game inside out. And that is why, for those who are worried about a Tinubu presidency, you have to guard your loins very, very well. Let me state again, so that people, I'm not campaigning for him. Indeed, let me state clearly, I wouldn't vote for him anyway. So that is, I've made that absolutely clear.
Right.
But I must recognize, you know, in doing my job, the truth that confronts everybody. You know, and so it's up to you. It's up to Nigerians.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Indeed. Let's go pick up the Vanguard now. We would come back to the Punch later after this Vanguard. Page 7 of the Vanguard. Lagos 2022 budget, height of financial recklessness. That's Dosunmu speaking.
You remember Dosunmu was a one-time PDP candidate against during Fatula's second term. Indeed, I played a little advisory role for him in the very beginning of his campaign, but we fell out on some one or two things very quickly, and that was it. But what he's saying here is quite significant, and I want to read it. What he's saying here is that on November 24, the governor presented a proposal of 1.38 trillion to the State House of Assembly as the 2022 budget. But that he was shocked that the Lagos State House of Assembly passed a different budget, criminally padded, I'm quoting him here, to the tune of 1.7 trillion, an addition of almost 400 billion over the originally proposed figure of 1.38 trillion. Now, if this is true, which I think it is, in an election year, your guess is as good as mine. Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not going to give out prizes for what you think. But Odosumu says here, where and how did the House of Assembly conjure an additional over 350 billion over the meticulously prepared and ratified document put together by the Lagos bureaucracy? What did the governor omit in the original budget proposal to warrant such mind-boggling increment from the supposed hallowed chambers of the State House of Assembly? He goes on to add, why did Governor Sanwo-Olu not ask any question, as Buhari did in querying the 37 billion pardon, the national budget by National Assembly? What can we then say of almost 400 billion pardon of a state budget? Now remember, Buhari complained that 37 million. This pardon, according to Dosunmu, is 400 billion. Then he now says that, could this be connivance or collusion between the state executive and the legislative arm? For me, I don't know the difference between the two. You know, one looks like the parasitical of the other. And he says, could the defiant attempt to raise capital expenditure from 823 billion to 1.1 trillion be laying the foundation of a white elephant project as 2023 elections draw closer? And I ask, your guess is as good as mine. The government of Lagos State needs to respond to this accusation by Tinubu in detail.
Yes, Dosunmu.
By Dosunmu, sorry, in detail. I'm going to bring Dosunmu to the studio here anytime from now. And I would expect a detailed response from the state government. See, we must always remember that one day we might be called to answer queries and questions about the things we do when we're in government. So pushing it aside or snubbing anybody who says this might not be the best thing to do. Every man, make everybody bear in papa name. I'm going to bring Dosunmu here, definitely. By the grace of God, he'll probably be here next week, Saturday, to explain this in detail. And I will give equal opportunity to the Lagos State government to give us a statement. And indeed, the House of Assembly So the three of them, at different times, I don't want any fisticuffs in the in the studio, even though the walls are padded.
Mm.
But there are some granite areas here. Totally bad rule. Okay. But his accusation is serious. It shouldn't be thrown away in the usual manner. You know, the APC can be arrogant about these things sometimes. Because people are studying these things. They are studying these things. And winning an election doesn't mean that people are not concerned about things like this and they may not call you up at some time later in the day to answer for things like this.
Mm, indeed. There's a lot of questions surrounding Lagos State budget. Not, mm-hmm. It's not even about this administration alone. It's always been guarded. It's always been shrouded in some form of...
It is like a... I don't bother myself. You notice that I don't bother myself about all these things because it's like a cultic thing. And we know the game. I mean, let's call it spirit. What name did I give you yesterday? I've forgotten the name. Okay, Sheriff.
Dele
Abideji or something. Dele, me, Dele. Let us call the speed is speed.
Yeah.
We have an idea of what goes on. Mm. Nobody is stupid now. No, we know what goes on. And listen,
yeah.
There is always judgment day. I know that, look, I've mixed a lot with some of these politicians. They have this, come on, my kick, but nothing will happen. Ah. You just never know. You just never know. If you have a sense of history, if you were old enough when the military took over from Shagari and what happened to certain persons, then you'd be very, very careful.
People may not realize this, but if you've been where people are very politically conscious, you know that Lagos State, as enlightened as it seems, isn't actually politically conscious. This is the reason, because I've worked in River State. There's no time the government of River State, whether present or past, will put out a budget that you won't see breakdown, critical analysis by stakeholders in that state. But here, it's always like nobody cares. Nobody even cares about how the last budget fared. Nobody asks questions as to.
Should I tell you why?
Yeah.
It is a shame I'm an indigene of Lagos. Double combination from both sides. But we've shied away from our responsibility at Akongba Party learning. Mm. And so now we are shouting wolf when the horse has bolted. Lagosians they abandoned their state and their conscience. They sat back and did nothing. Our elders connived. You see, because in River State, both the civil service and it composed of maybe 80% indigenous.
You're right.
So they have a stake. Mm. Lagos State is like a prostitute to be raped and looted at will while the owners just stand back and do nothing. Now the horse has bolted. Take a census of Lagos and find out how many indigenous you have left. Those who were at the top at that time, a lot of them betrayed us. Yes. You've rubbed a raw nerve in me this morning. A lot of them betrayed. Some of them are still around now. They're in their 80s and 90s. They betrayed us. Let me tell you something. I told somebody, I think late December or so, I said, close your eyes and imagine.
Mm.
If Funsho Williams, who won the AD primaries way back then, had been governor for 8 years, what kind of Lagos State do you think you would have had? Who are the kind of people would you have had at the top of Lagos State? Lagos State used to be a beautiful state. In the days even when you had Marwa, who was not even a yes.
Yeah.
You had a certain culture. But over time, all that has been decimated. And that is simply because people have... So everybody in Lagos is no man's land now. You can rape it, you can loot it, you can do as you wish. And even up to traditional level, the culture has changed. When I was growing up in the 60s and the 70s, I know the kind of obas that we had in Lagos. Do we have the same now? I know, even down to the culture, I grew up in Yaba, which was a hub of entertainment. Even down to the kind of music that was played and so on and so forth. Do we have the same now? So Lagos has become all comers. Lagos doesn't belong to anybody and it belongs to everybody. And that is why the politicians have cashed in on it. They've cashed in on it. They know nothing is going to happen. Everybody here comes to Lagos. Most half of the politicians in the APC have gone back to their states to either become governors or become senators or whatever.
I mean, we can
after
see
putting their hands in the cookie jar in Lagos.
The evidence is there. We can see all of them.
You can see. So that it is sad. It brings tears to the eyes of some of us whose origins are buried here. Mm. You know, but that is what has happened over time. And so when if we are going to make Lagos a referral point for me, a referral point to decide who I want to sit in that seat in Abuja, I won't be looking in this direction at all. Mm. Allah Maje. The place is destroyed. You know it. Don't let's kid ourselves. You know it. It's not a subject for debate. This is not the Lagos that I grew up in. But let's move to another story. Please don't bring up this kind of thing again. It can be very upsetting.
Sorry, sir. Let's go back to the punch. Page 6 of the punch. Lagos unveils new format for vehicle inspection.
again, all we get is rhetoric. Now, I want to do this. This is a noble idea. There's no doubt about it. Any sensible... And this was actually introduced in the first term, I think, of Governor Bola Tinubu at that time, with the ministry headed by my late Commissioner Johnson. Now, the whole idea is every vehicle that is on the streets of Lagos, okay, should have been properly inspected before being put on the road.
Right,
fine. Let me see if they put a deadline to it. He was appealing to this thing. He can go to any center. Fine. You can go to any center. You know, they have centers all over. Get your car examined, and then you are permitted to be on the road. Mm. This is January. By April, I want to challenge the Lagos state. I will go with cameras, and everybody should bring their cameras and take a shot of all the public transportation vehicles that you see and say, even if at sight, if any one of them could pass, the state is known for huffing and puffing. Mm. Like, again, we'll go to the environment, we go to transportation and so on and so forth, Okada and things like that. The state is known for huffing and puffing, but when it comes to implementing and applying the law, they fall flat on their face. Mm. So it's all about propaganda, but I'd like to be proved wrong. I'd like to give them a chance. This is a very, very noble thing. In fact, I'm going to go and get my vehicle examined, if for anything at all, for my own peace of mind.
Yeah.
I do that anyway. Just as I do my body checkup every year, I do my car checkup every quarter. Mm. Make sure that everything is in order.
Is it working fine?
Somebody told me not too long ago that they were coming towards this side of town.
Yeah.
By 1004, the car just went off. Do you know what happened? The mechanic, about 4 bolts hold the steering rack onto the car itself. There was only one left. By the time they inspected the vehicle,
my word.
The car turned on its own.
My word.
You understand? So I mean, it's even for your own good, and I'm glad they have provided these centers, but I'm going to challenge, for public transportation purposes, let us give them till April. And then let's all go out one day, maybe April Fool's Day. We'll set up somewhere and send in photographs of the vehicles you see on the road for government transportation. Then we will know whether to applaud the Lagos government or not.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yes.
Let's go pick up Vanguard again. This story is on page 9 of the Vanguard. APC presidential ticket, I will match Tinubu great for great. Uzokalu.
We have to sit up. Oh. That's all I will say. When I say we, I mean you and I. Okay? We have to sit up. The horizon is still not looking good enough. It's not looking promising. Mm. It's getting clearer, but it's not looking good enough. And it's not just the APC. I was watching YouTube yesterday and I saw one of the so-called PDP aspirants.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I took a good look at him, and I said, okay, so this guy would want me to vote for him, this, you know, knowing his antecedents. It's not looking good. And I'd like those who will be the Moses and the saviors of this country to please come out now, you know, whilst all this is happening, before it gets too late. If you know that you have what it takes and you're sure of what, like I said on Saturday, I have a young lady who's going to come, Khadija Tokono. Mm. She might not, you might say all what you like, she might not win. But it's not just about winning. Okay, it's also about raising the ante. Maybe we're going to have a presidential debate, putting everybody on their toes. So I'll be proud to present Khadija Tokunu on Saturday at, is it 9 o'clock? At 9 o'clock.
9, yes. So 9. It's 9 a.m.
And the discuss, 9 a.m. But it's not looking, what I'm seeing here is not looking good, if you get what I mean. It's not looking good. I pray, one of the things that I pray for, you know, that 2023 doesn't become same of same. Do I hear an amen there?
Is it that we're
out? Do I hear an amen there first?
Amen first.
So you will know
it. Is it that we, the people that have indicated their interest right now to vie for the office of the president in 2023, is it the issue of their capacity, or what really is the issue? Because these people have been in government
it is not an issue of capacity, because capacity becomes a debatable issue. It is the things that are ascribed to them. They are so devastating. They are so mind-boggling. And some of them are so apparent that you would have to be a dead man to convince yourself that you put your thumb on that. Listen, for any of them so far. I'm telling you, why are we? Don't let's be polite. This is not a time to be polite. We've been polite for the past 20-something years. Where has it gotten us? This is a time for, if you come out in public space and you say you want to lead us, then we are going to look at ourselves eyeball to eyeball. We are going to look at ourselves eyeball to eyeball, and we are going to ask a lot of pertinent questions. Like what I said yesterday, do you want me to vote for somebody who come and swear an affidavit that is from Madagascar, or is from Gabon, or is a Tanzanian, when I can't trace his origins? What are you talking about? To lead my country? When ordinarily, I think that if you have dual citizenship, you cannot even vote to be president.
No, you can't.
So I have to be sure of who you are. I don't want any genie coming out of the box to come and say, oh, by the way, this man crossed over, he crossed the Sahara all the way from Morocco to come and be president here. I want a true Nigerian spirit. Honest. You must be apparently honest. You must be. It's not just about capacity. There are also other traces. One of the reasons why some of us were ready almost to put our lives on the line for Buhari principally was because of his perceived honesty. Use the word perceived, because I don't know.
I was going to ask.
I can't hold brief for anybody.
When you were saying honest, I was going to ask you that honestly. Do you think that we can get an honest politician in Nigeria?
But at least let's give him a margin of 10%.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give a margin of 90% when I can see clearly what is in front of me. Do you understand? You can give plus or minus a margin of 10. But in some of the cases of some of the people coming out now, the margin is as long as my arm.
That's not really long. We must go now. Dear Bumi is up at 9.
You remember the lady who said that she cannot marry a man who doesn't have two SUVs.
Yes, and that she'll go on.
She's coming back again to revise it. Okay. So all you guys, today is YouTube day. She's coming to revise. Maybe she will adjust it.
Yeah,
upwards or down.
That's great.
Sheriff, I see you at 9.
Well, Jimmy will be back at 9 for Daily Digest. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Thank you for tuning in. We have the news for you. After the news, we talk insurance. No. We'll talk pension with Tunji Andrews. Stay here.
Back to back and back of the biggest talk.
It's just a general attitude to environmental laws. You know, mechanics, food sellers. One of the reasons why I believe you have so much traffic is because the environmental laws are not enforced. The traffic laws are not enforced. And that has led to complete chaos in the state.
On your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Talk.
The Supreme Court basically said the only type of register the law recognizes is paper-based.
News.
The Senate has condemned the proposed siting of 20 projects in Lau local government area of Taraba.
Sport.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM.
Nigeria Info.
As it happens.